Odd Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Hi there, Jeff Munn for Brad Sessmat on this Wednesday, and boy, have I got a story for you. See this shirt? It says, wait a minute, if I move, okay, it says Skyview. I did not wear this shirt coming down here today. There is a reason, and I just have to do this very quickly so that y'all can understand. It's this camera, right? I want to look right at this camera. You know what I do a lot of times when I do this show? I look up at the monitor. I'm on TV. If you've ever been in one of those conference rooms that has glass walls, there's a reason they put a little strip across, a little decoration, so that morons like myself don't go barreling into the wall thinking there's no wall there holding a cup of Starbucks. It's exactly what I did down here this morning. I had a little meeting with some people before I came in to do the show. And, took a complete... You've seen it on Facebook. It's people do it all the time. Well, that's why they put those little decorations there, so that, you know, people like myself don't go barreling into things. All right, I'm done telling you why I'm wearing it. It's a nice shirt, though. Isn't this a nice shirt, Eric?
I'm not sure how you got a shirt from Skyview when we have been here like a year and a half.
Anything to get a free shirt.
The Sports 360 AZ team hasn't gotten Skyview
actually,
shirts.
Actually,
I guess we just have
shirt.
To go like spill coffee on our
I'd
shirts
like
to get free
I'd
ones.
Like to let Charlie Turner Thorne know that this is the shirt that I was wearing in. It's my ASU women's basketball polo. I am proud of the fact. You can't really see it real well.
It's okay. It's a collector's item now anyway.
Well, no, it's not, because I'm going to wash it.
No, it is. It has a swoosh on it, not three stripes.
Oh, that's right. I got to get all new stuff. Maybe that's why they keep giving me this stuff, because it's like it's outdated. But here is my ASU women's basketball polo, so I want Charlie to know that I was going to represent, but now I'm representing Skyview because they gave me a shirt. All right, I'm here for Brad today. Brad is just out, or is he touring the country?
He's on a beach.
Is he really
in San Diego? Yeah, he's in California on a beach.
Nice. That reminds me of another story, too, but we'll get to that later. Big show today, and I mean a busy show. And who ever thought that July is the dead time in sports? Pedro Gomez will be with us today for his weekly visit. We'll talk baseball, and there's a lot to talk about, both locally and nationally in Major League Baseball. My buddy Tim Kempton will be along. NBA free agency is off and rolling. And there's been a lot of movement already, which is really interesting because I'm a little confused, and we'll ask Tim to clear this up for us, about there is that rule that certain deals can't be announced until July 9th, but a number of deals have been announced already, and we'll get to the news on that in a moment. And also later on, a person in this business that I really, really admire, and there's a lot of people that fall into that category, but Kendra D. St. Aubin, who lives here, really made her big break into the business in this market, and she is up in Edmonton calling Women's World Cup soccer for Fox Sports Net, Fox Sports One, Fox, whatever network it's on, and she'll be handling the Japan. Is it Japan in England or China in England tonight?
I thought it was China. It might be China, England.
Yeah. Either way, the winner of that match will get the U.S. in the Women's World Cup final on Sunday. So a ton of things to talk about. And I've got a few things on my mind, not just related to walking into walls, holding cups of coffee, but other things as well. So anybody that thinks July is quiet, and it is the 1st of July. Happy July 1st. We are halfway through 2015. Boy, is this year gone fast. I mean, it has really gone fast. All right, let's get to it. Let's talk about the latest in the world of sports, and it's brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Stop into Santan Ford for their great variety and selection on new or certified pre-owned vehicles just off the 202 at Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it's all about you.
That's and it beautiful. Is Japan, by the way. It's Japan.
It is Japan. It I'm is. Sorry. I don't it know is. Where I think China is in this. I don't know. There isn't really a third place game in the World Cup. Never mind. All right, here we go. The U.S. won their match last night in the Women's World Cup, 2-0. And didn't they play China last night? Now, I'm a little bit in the dark on this because...
They played Germany.
That match was going on as the D-backs were getting ready to play, and somebody was on the air with a radio pregame show. So why I would allow myself to get my attention diverted by my job, I have no idea. But I do know that they won 2-0. up in Canada last night, and it puts the U.S. into the Women's World Cup final on Sunday against either Japan or England. Alex Morgan of the U.S. saying that the U.S. squad took full advantage of their opportunities.
Everyone stepped up. I mean, I feel like I was creating a lot of chances, and once they got that penalty and missed the penalty, I just felt kind of this the wind shift, and you could just hear the crowd roaring. It was, everyone was behind us, and even though I felt like we were playing well up to that moment, I knew we had to respond, and I'm glad we responded quickly.
And again, they will play on Sunday. That will be on the Fox Network, and we were talking before the show today that the TV numbers, I guess, have just been big box office, right, Eric?
6.1 on Big Fox yesterday. Wow. Big number. And you can imagine what Sunday is going to be like.
Yeah. And understandably
weekend.
So.
Yeah, it's going
understandably
to be,
so.
It's going to be huge.
You know, there's, and it's terrific. That's tremendous for Fox, and kind of gets the taste of the U.S. Open out of their mouth. I didn't say that, did I? That was, can I just take 20 seconds and tell you, and I felt bad for Fox. Since I haven't done this show since the U.S. Open golf tournament. Let me just say this. It's really unfair to criticize Fox because that was their first venture into golf, and it happened to be on the biggest stage. That's like having Nickelodeon do this. Well, that's not a good analogy either. But it's like having a non-NFL network do the Super Bowl. Everything's under a microscope because it's a Super Bowl. It's the first time. It was a couple of years ago, TBS did the baseball playoffs and hadn't done any regular season baseball. They got barbecued about their coverage.
See, and I didn't hate Fox's coverage as much as a lot of people. I liked the ball tracker. I liked the fact that you could hear the caddy talking to the golfer. I like certain aspects. Absolutely.
A lot of people were not crazy about Greg Norman. A lot of people were not really happy with Kurt Menefee as the host.
Mm-hmm.
But
it was
again,
a bit awkward.
Fox is not a golf network. So they can't go out. They can't hire Johnny Miller from NBC. They only do USGA, the U.S. Open, the U.S. Senior Open. Well, he's not leaving NBC, which has 20 events, including the Ryder Cup, to go do Fox. So they have to go out and find other people. And so, and it didn't work out. But it's not fair. I really don't think it's fair to Fox to judge them that way. Now, if they continue next year, when the tournament is, I believe, back at Oakmont in Pennsylvania, if they mess that up the same way, then you can get on them. D-backs lost last night to the Dodgers 6-4 in 10 innings. A game that these two games of this series so far have had a real kind of, I don't want to say October feel, but maybe September, real nip and tuck. The games have, they've been very dramatic. And last night, the Dodgers went into the 10th inning, tied 3-3. Howie Kendrick got a home run to give them the lead, but the real crushing blow came courtesy of their catcher, Yasmani Grandal.
Runners go on 3-2. Fly ball, left field. That one is well hit, and that one is off the wall. In to score is Gonzalez, and here comes Puig. Yasmani Grandal going the opposite way yet again. Three runs are in for the Dodgers in the 10th. They now lead it 6-3.
And the D-backs did get a run bottom of the 10th, but come up two runs short. Robbie Ray and Brett Anderson tonight at 6:40 at Chase Field. By the way, if you didn't know, I'm Jeff Munn. I don't know if I said that earlier. I'm with the Arizona Diamondbacks radio broadcast team and Arizona State University women's basketball. That's why I had the shirt. And I'm very happy to be in for Brad today. There were a couple of instances last night where the D-backs' aggressiveness on the base pass really cost them, and manager Chip Hale acknowledged that after the game.
Basically, made three outs on the bases. We got picked off on a Pennington out there at first. We got Wellington thrown out, and Tomas got thrown out. So it's hard to give three outs to a real good team, first-place team like that.
Now, quickly on the NBA news of the day, a lot of things have happened since 9 o'clock last night when midnight on the East Coast, the free agency started. Among other things, Anthony Davis signed a very lengthy and expensive extension with the New Orleans Pelicans. That's a really smart move for New Orleans. The latest at the moment, the Spurs have traded Tiago Splitter to Atlanta. Mike Dunleavy is going to stay in Chicago. Goran Dragic and the Heat have reached a 5-year, $90 million agreement. And that kind of obviously cools the talk that Dragic may look elsewhere. Paul Millsap talking to the Hawks and the Magic. LaMarcus Aldridge did have his meeting with the Lakers. He'll continue his tour of teams in the Western Conference. Kawhi Leonard signed a max deal, $90 million over 5 years with the Spurs. So there's been a lot of movement. DeAndre Jordan is out looking at things. And Damari Carroll, didn't you tell me Damari Carroll signed with Toronto?
Yes, he is now a Raptor, another guy that the Suns had targeted.
I'll tell you, there is an interesting, I may have heard it wrong, but even though nobody really expects LeBron James to move, despite the fact that he opted out, he's just getting his deal reworked. But somebody I heard yesterday, I could swear, say that Toronto was going to take a run at him. And I thought, that's interesting. Toronto is, they're close. They put together a nice little roster up there. Adding Damari Carroll will help a bunch. Now, we will take a break. I believe we're right up against it. So what we will do is take a break, come back. Pedro Gomez from ESPN, who joins Brad each week to talk baseball. He's in Miami to cover Jose Fernandez's return from the DL. He will pitch tomorrow against another guy coming back from injury, Matt Cain of the Giants. But we'll talk a number of things with Pedro, D-backs news, and these changes to the home run derby. We'll talk about that all coming up next. Brad Sesmatch Show, sports360az.com, and a big hello to all of you watching on azcentral.com.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at sports360az. It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sesmatch.
It's actually Jeff Munn for Brad Sesmatch. I'm from the Arizona Diamondbacks, as some of you may or may not know or may want to admit to. And I also do Arizona State women's basketball play-by-play during the winter, mostly because my kids want me out of the house. But yes, it is time to talk baseball with Pedro Gomez with ESPN. And like me, a fellow devotee of Nello's Pizza in Tempe. Pedro, you're in Miami. You're nowhere near Nello's. How are you?
True, true. Except I'm more the Ahwatukee Nello's.
You know,
Nello's is Nello's.
Nello's is Nello's. There's no question. They're not a sponsor, but we can get in a plug. I'm going to start. We like to talk D-backs baseball, and I want to talk. You're in Miami, and I want to talk about that as well. But let me start with this. A little backstory. I do a lot of my prep work in the morning when I'm not watching this show. I listen to WFAN radio in New York. And it's amusing. All this week, every phone call has been about the Mets and their offense. So let's start with this. I'm going to put you in the position of Dave Stewart, Pedro, and I'm going to be Sandy Alderson. Is there anything I can offer you that would get you to be at least interested in trading me Paul Goldschmidt?
And who am I again? Am I?
You're Dave Stewart. I'm Sandy Alderson. Is there anything with the Mets that I can offer you, 25-man, 40-man farm system, that would get you to even think about trading me Paul Goldschmidt?
I would say if you tell me you're going to give me Syndergaard and Mapp, yes.
What about Syndergaard and Harvey? See, a lot of people think Syndergaard and Harvey, and I'm thinking not off the Tommy John.
No, I would say Syndergaard and Mapp, and that's why I say I would absolutely listen to that.
Okay.
But, you know, you're giving away a cornerstone player
right
in Paul Goldschmidt, and those guys do not come along very often. And you know, if he had any look at me in him, he would be always mentioned at within the first two or three guys at the top of the list. The thing with Paul is he is not a look at me guy. He is not a pump out his chest, you know, and that's what makes him so appealing because the team is always first for him. And
right.
Those are the guys that are winners. And you know what, Jeff, and you're old enough to remember, I think, because you're closer to my age. I have always said this about Paul Goldschmidt. There's one player in Major League history that he reminds me of, and it's Al Kaline.
Oh,
just
yeah.
A quiet, put your head down, go to work, and I'm going to get everything done that I can. But at the end of the day, anything you want to talk about is about the team, not me.
I remember,
to me, he's Al Kaline.
I remember a story. I'll tell this real quick about Al Kaline. First of all, every time we've ever been to Detroit, and he's always at all the games, this will tell you a little bit about Al Kaline and what kind of humble guy he is. He will come up to you and introduce himself. Hi, I'm Al Kaline.
Exactly.
Yeah, like I didn't know you're Al Kaline. The other thing, and I read this.
I have 3,000 hits, and I'm
right.
in the Hall of Fame.
Well, he also, didn't he finish with 399 home runs? He finished
he
just
here's
shy
an interesting
of 400.
Fact.
And,
yeah, but here's the thing. He lost four to rainout.
Yeah, and I read a story, and I can't remember if it was in Bob Ryan's book or John Feinstein's book about minor league, but it had to be Ryan's, where he sat out the last game of his career because he didn't think it was that big a deal to get to 400 home runs. And he's admitted years later that, well, yeah, now I see what a big deal it would have been. Maybe I should have played. And that, but that's the kind of guy he was. He just didn't get caught up in the numbers. He was just there to play.
And isn't that, Jeff, isn't that Paul Goldschmidt?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's him.
Now,
that's my best comparison to Paul Goldschmidt.
I know that last week you talked with Brad about the issue of whether the D-backs are sellers or buyers as we approach the deadline. And not much has changed in the last week. They're six out in the West. They're still a couple games below 500. So I would list they're on the fringe of contention. I look at this roster, Pedro, and I think, well, they can't really be either one because they can't. What are they selling? And if they buy, it's going to cost them another prospect.
And that's why I think they go as far as they can this season. And whatever happens, happens. Hey, if they get hot in August and September and somehow are fighting for, you know, one of the two wild card spots or something, great. Then the season, no matter what happens at that point, Jeff, the season is a tremendous success. But I agree, you do not blow up just in order to get to the playoffs this year because you've got to be looking next year, the year after, the year after. And that's where I think Tony La Russa and Dave Stewart and Deshaun Watson will have patience. And I know that in talking to those three guys during the spring, you know, there was a lot of belief that, hey, we had nothing to do with this roster configuration. We inherited this. But you've already seen quite a bit of change over the course of, gosh, the last 2 months or so in terms of them putting their own fingerprints, you know, on this roster. And I think you're seeing more and more of that, and you will continue to see it, but I don't think you'll do it at the expense of just trying to sneak in as a wild card this year.
Pedro Gomez from ESPN joins us, and I agree with you. I don't think it'll be a move simply to try to get in as a wild card, although somebody somewhere is going to say, well, look what happened with the Royals and the Giants. To me, it's a totally different situation. Breaking news last night, and Ken Rosenthal of Fox had a story the night before that it looked like things were starting to ratchet up tension-wise between the Jerry DePoto and Mike Socha. And apparently, although nothing has been announced by the Angels yet, DePoto resigned last night. And if you put the tweets together, apparently he went to Artie Moreno with one of those it's either him or me kind of conversations, and Moreno said it's him. And I'm not surprised, I guess, that it came to this, Pedro, because apparently the dispute came over the use of analytics. And Jerry's
analytics.
Yeah, he's from he's Josh Burns' disciple. And Mike Socha, to me, has never been totally embracing of analytics. There was going to be a break sooner or later.
Well, and it started a few years ago, even, and it has never really been a relationship that has healed at all. But my understanding, and I did speak to somebody about this, it's not that DePoto wanted them to go all in with the analytics. He just wanted the players to have the information and then let them decide. And apparently that wasn't being conveyed to the players. The information was just being taken, and it was just being, I don't want to say thrown in the trash, because I don't know that it was physically thrown in the trash, but it was not being necessarily conveyed to the players. And that is where, that's where the breakup really started to happen. Because like I said, DePoto is not, he is an analytics guy, but he's not one of these 100% guys.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Players to have, yeah. He just wants to, you know, let's not forget, DePoto is one of the very few, I think there's only three, well, could be two right now, ex-Major League players that are in the chair of general manager. Mm-hmm. It's Billy Beane, Ruben Amaro, and Jerry DePoto.
Well, and
DePoto,
Dave Stewart.
Oh, and now Dave Stewart. That's right. He joined the club this year. You know, it's not many. And what you tend to have is that you know, a guy like DePoto, yeah, he's going to lean on it, but he's not going to force feed it down your throat. Like, you have to do this. But he just wants them to have the information, and apparently that wasn't happening. And that's really where I think the discord occurred, and where maybe Jerry tried to, I don't want to say pull a power play, but just explain, look, I just want them to have it. If they don't want to use it at that point, fine, but have the information. and it wasn't even getting to that point. So really, really fractured front office there, and not a good situation, obviously, going forward.
Pedro Gomez from ESPN, and he'll be on Baseball Tonight the next couple of nights or toward the end of the week, joins us from Miami. I want to hit a couple other topics. We could talk a long time about the whole thing with the Angels, but you're in Miami because Jose Fernandez is going to come off the DL tomorrow, recovered from his Tommy John surgery, and ironically, he's going to pitch against Matt Cain of the Giants, who's also coming off the DL. But aside from that, the Stanton injury, and this kind of ties into talking about the Mets and the panic that is gripping New York about their offense. The other guy that gets mentioned a lot, both for both teams, the Mets and the Yankees, is go get Martin Prado out of the Marlins. My question is this. Does the Stanton injury and the fact that he won't be back until after July 31st, sometime in August, does that now cause the Marlins to say, okay, this didn't work, we got to sell off pieces, and we got to do it now?
Well, I think you look at the history of the club, and that certainly has been part of the track record of Jeffrey Loria's ownership, that you know, if things aren't working immediately, then we're going to start plan, you know, L, M, N, O, P, whatever. And that it would not surprise me in the least. The other thing with Stanton's injury, and I don't know that this part's been mentioned as much. You know, I've talked to Nomar Garciaparra, who also had a hamate break, just the same thing that Stanton has had. Came back in midseason, and he told me, until the off season, when you're truly able to rest, that injury never gets better. You can play the last 2 months or whatever, but you will not be able to swing the bat you once did, because it's that little bone right where the hand meets the wrist on the outside, and he said you're never ever as strong until you have a full winter. So even when Stanton comes back, and let's not forget the Marlins are about 16 games under 500 right now, Jeff, I would imagine that they will absolutely be sellers. I mean, don't forget, Mark Burley was gone within 4 months of them signing him. So,
what I was going to say,
they're known for that.
And when we talk about sell-off, I'm thinking more of the prototypes. I think they'd be foolish at this point to trade. They've got a great shortstop in Echevarria. They have Osuna.
Oh, yeah.
They have Yelich, players they've brought up through their system.
Yeah,
I don't think they should sell those guys off. That'd be foolish.
Well, I think the baseball people will stop that from happening. But I do agree that somebody like a Martin Prado, a veteran like that, that's the type of player that other organizations will look at and say, you know what, that's a good piece to a puzzle. He's not a cornerstone, which I think a lot of people, when he came to Arizona, thought of him because he went for Justin Upton,
right,
and he was the marquee name, so to speak, coming from Atlanta. People thought, oh, well, he's the guy they wanted, and he's the guy that's going to replace Upton's bat. But when you look at Martin Prado's career, he has always been a good fit to a bigger piece, to a bigger puzzle, a piece to the puzzle, not the cornerstone. And, yeah, if you've got a club that is struggling and can use some offensive pop, maybe in the either in the two-hole or the six or the seven-hole in the lineup, absolutely, Martin Prado is that kind of guy.
The news that came out Sunday, I thought the timing of the announcement was really interesting, that Major League Baseball is going to make changes to the Home Run Derby, and essentially, without going into all the details, they're going to take the eight participants, bracket them somewhat like a Final Four NCAA tournament, and the rounds are going to be timed. My initial response, Pedro, was that's good because that event takes too much time the way it was initially constructed.
I don't know that this is going to really eliminate a lot of time, though. That's the thing. Because unless players decide, okay, you have 5 minutes, and you know you can win bonus time, by the way, to make it up to 6 minutes and 30 seconds. But I would say that there's still a chance that it could last just as long.
Is that
the only difference would be that if you're the second person and the guy in front of you hits three and you hit four, just a minute and a half in, you can just put your bat down and say, okay, I've won, let's move on. That part can cut down on time. But ostensibly, it could end up taking longer, Jeff.
Ooh.
And I think that's not something that Major League Baseball wanted, but just do the math. It could. You know, there's no outs anymore.
Right.
It's time.
It is a
so
time.
No 10 outs and you're done. Exactly.
To me, there are two things with that event. And having seen it live in 2011, that was my thought, was this thing has taken too long. You know, there's a little buzz at the beginning, and then it just dies. The other thing is, I will say this, it's been
interesting. Until the presentation when I'm on, right?
No, yeah, then your presentation's great. Yeah, I've never had a problem with it. I do see, though, a change in the attitude. Prior to his injury, Stanton said, I'll participate if I'm asked. Todd Frazier can't wait to get back in there and make up for losing in the finals to Cespedes. And we both know that 8-9 years ago, or maybe even more recently, a lot of hitters, Goldschmidt is still kind of like, I don't know if I want to do this, because there was a fear 5-6 years ago that guys were messing up their swings by participating in this. I think of Bobby Abreu, and I think it was 2006, was in the Derby and went right in the tank for the rest of the season. And he said it was because of that home run derby. I messed up my swing mechanics. But I get the sense, Pedro, and you're closer to it on a national level, that guys aren't as worried about that as they used to be?
I don't think so. I think that when guys just have a bad second half of the season, it's just a bad second half of the season. Because guys that do not participate, you've seen them have poor second half of the season. So, you know, these guys take batting practice every single day. And for the most part, they try to hit the ball out of the park during those BP sessions. Not across the board, but for the most part. And, you know, they know what they're doing. I think it's more of a cop-out in order to say, I'm flattered that you're inviting me, but I think it'll mess up my swing, so I don't want to do it. That is what I think it does more than anything.
Yeah, I know part of the Frazier thing, too, is because it's in Cincinnati, and he wants to be there for his hometown fans. Hey, safe travels.
All right, Jeff. Good
and
to you,
I know that being in Miami is kind of like having a home game to a certain degree.
I grew up here.
Yeah, it is. Sometime you and I got to talk about this whole thing. The news today, I guess, I don't know if they've announced it, that the embassies are going to open. And
hey,
future. This is a fascinating topic, and I know it's a sensitive one for a lot of people. We'll find some time. Maybe you and I can go grab a slice at Nello's, and we'll...
I'm in.
Okay. Sounds good. Pedro, safe travels. Right. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Jeff. Okay,
you betcha. Pedro Gomez of ESPN, always a great guy to talk baseball with or sports with, and we appreciate him joining us here on the Brad Sesmatch Show. When we come back, do I have a segment that I can vent a little bit? Good. Hey! I knew there was a reason I came down here today. Get a free shirt. We're back with more of the Brad Sesmatch Show on Sports360AZ.com, which has terrific local content, any old time you need it or want it, and at AZCentral.com. And they're really good people, too. The Brad Sesmatch Show on a Wednesday, the 1st of July. We are 6 months through 2015. It's just amazing to me how quickly things have gone. Tim Kempton, Suns radio analyst, will talk about free agency. Kendra D. St. Aubin will talk Women's World Cup a little bit later on this year program. And I have a little bit of time here to just kind of vent about a few things that have been on my mind in the world of sports as of late. And I do want to talk about something I was kind of getting into with Pedro. Today, this is a momentous day, by the way, in this genre of broadcasting. On this day, 1987, WFAN Radio in New York signed on for the first time as an all-sports radio station. It was the first of its kind in the country. And I remember that, like a lot of other things in broadcasting, and I'm sure, Eric, that is Brad and you have ventured on to this brand-new exciting world of internet and streaming, that a lot of people would say to you, well, you really certain that's going to work? And here you are, you know, how many ever years later, and it's still going, and it's growing, and it's...
Almost 4 years.
Yeah, and it just continues to grow by leaps and bounds, and there's great interest in the show. I'm sure that the people at WFAN went through the same thing. And I point that out for this reason. Sports radio, I met Brad the first time we met. He was hired at KTAR Radio to host the 620 Sports Line. And at the time, that was it. That was the amount of sports talk. There was an all-sports radio station in Phoenix. And it has morphed into something else now, but it was not as it was kind of in that formative stage. So really, a lot of people considered the benchmark of sports talk radio in Phoenix to be Brad Show, and for good reason. Back in those days, and we're talking about the early to mid-90s, Brad would have to deal with something a lot of times, especially related to the Suns, because at the time, there was just the Cardinals and the Suns. So a lot of the calls would be about the Suns or the Cardinals, and somebody would call inevitably and say, we need to trade for Hakeem Olajuwon. Let's call the Rockets and offer them Nigel Knight for Hakeem Olajuwon. And you'd kind of go, yeah, we'll get right on that, and the Rockets will come running to the phone. Nigel Knight for Hakeem Olajuwon. My point is this. I listen to a lot of things on the radio, this show, but a lot of it, interestingly enough, it's not all local that I listen to when I do my prep every day to get ready for games. I do a lot of reading. And I like to have something on in the background. And a lot of times I'll put on WFAN. And this past week, as I mentioned to Pedro, I'm going to sneeze here at a moment's notice, so I just want to warn you ahead of time. There have been a lot of calls from people, what do we do to fix the Mets offense? And some of these calls have been downright silly. And one of them was, let's call the D-backs and get Paul Goldschmidt. Okay. And the host, who's an icon in sports radio, sports talk radio, Mike Francesa, would simply ask the callers, put yourself in the position of the other team's general manager. And that's a good lesson for all of us as fans. Hey, I'd love to call the Angels and say, I'll give you a gift certificate to McDonald's for Mike Trout. Actually, today you might be able to do that since they don't have a GM. But that's not going to happen. I mean, there is no, if you are Dave Stewart, the GM of the Diamondbacks, I don't know what they're called. There is no way to construct a trade that would get him interested in trading Paul Goldschmidt. If you are a Mets fan, you say, oh yeah, of course you'd love to have Paul Goldschmidt. But you're not going to be able to put together a trade that is going to produce the desired effect of getting that player out of Arizona. And the other GM is going to sit there and say, you're out of your mind, excuse me. It is the cold and allergy season. I just thought I'd point that out. You have to put yourself in the other GM's shoes for just a moment. It's the same thing with any other sport. If you are a fan of the Coyotes, sure, you'd love to call the Penguins and say, we'll offer you a bucket of pucks for Sidney Crosby. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's the same thing. And it doesn't make any sense to call radio stations and say, why can't we convince the Cubs to trade us Chris Bryant? Because they're not going to do it. You know, and that's the thing. The other thing about New York, and Eric, you can get in on this if you like. The thing I find amusing about New York, and they do have some very intelligent sports fans, but they also have some flat-out knuckleheads. New York is not immune to silly sports talk show calls. Excuse me, it is the cold and allergy season. And they are not, I mean, it's just amazing to me how many people call and say the most ridiculous things. Well, we'll trade him Dylan G for Paul Goldschmidt. Oh, yeah, we'll do that. Where do we sign? You know, it's just, come on. Wake up, people.
And it goes back to the debate that a lot of people in our business have, Jeff, in terms of taking calls or not taking calls. Everyone has their own opinion as to, now, are those calls beneficial? Do those callers actually bring something to the show? Does it take the direction of the content in a different, unique way? Yes, it does, but usually not for the better.
You run a risk a lot of times.
Usually not for the better.
WFAN continues to be predominantly caller-driven, and that's great for them. They can do that because it's New York, and there's very rarely a time of day, even in the middle of the night, when their phone bank isn't full. But as a listener, I'd rather hear Brad talk to Pedro. I'd rather hear Brad talk to his football people. Remind me who our fantasy guy is.
Michael Fabiano.
Michael Fabiano from the NFL
Peter
Network.
Peter King.
You're going to tell me that there's
Jake
somebody.
Plummer.
And listen, I love you all as viewers of this program, internet stream. If you're just listening, this is no disrespect to you. But honestly, I'd rather hear Peter King talk about the NFL than a guy on a mobile on I-17 talking about, I don't like our running game. It's you run a risk. And this is what I'm talking about. No, no, New York, we're not trading you Paul Goldschmidt. Not if you give us Tom Seaver in his prime, we're not doing it. And it's not because we're trying to be difficult. You can't construct a trade that would be worth it. Think about the other GM. Yeah, like a lot of people in New York are listening to this. They're too busy trying to figure out how to trade for Paul Goldschmidt. All right, Tim Kempton talks about NBA free agency. I'm going to go blow my nose. I'll be back. Hey, it's Wednesday, July 1st, and that means NBA free agency starts. I really like the way the NBA does this. Finals end, week later the draft, week later free agency. Somebody in the NBA knows what they're doing in terms of this calendar. And my buddy Tim Kempton, Suns radio analyst, is with us. I'm Jeff Munn from the Arizona Diamondbacks, ASU women's basketball. First thing I want to know, Tim, are you awake?
Money, I'm good to go. And that was all my doing. The NBA called me on that, and I told them to set that timeline up like that, so you can give me all the credit for that timeline that you like within the NBA.
I'll do that. I'm only asking if you're awake, and we can't get into this too much because it's a competitor, but you have been doing morning radio this week, and I just wanted to make sure that there's usually a time around 10, 10:30 in the morning where it starts really hitting you that you got up at 4.
No, I'm good to go. I've readjusted the clock for the week.
Outstanding. I loved a line last night. I got to start this way. I saw a line from Greg Popovich, and he said, I'm going to be asleep at midnight. If calling a guy at midnight makes the difference, I don't want him. And that's a complete departure, you know, from the guy that used to run the Suns. He was on the knocking on the door at 12:01. I'm sorry?
Go ahead. I'll let you finish.
I was just going to say, has there been anything so far, and there's been a lot of movement, has there been anything that surprised you?
To answer your question, no. And to go back to Greg Popovich, he can do that because he's Greg Popovich and
right.
San Antonio Spurs, and they have the clout. So that doesn't work for everybody in the NBA. Some people have to make those calls at 9:01 our time, 12:01 Eastern time to get that recognition, to get that understanding to that player that they were very important in their eyes. Everybody understand, where San Antonio is coming from, and that's a position of power. But what, Jeff? Nothing has really surprised me, and nothing, earth-shattering yet. A lot of guys have made moves, and a lot of guys have signed big contracts, but no one to the point, we're going to have to worry about that team next year, or that team got a ton better, or that team really lost a player that they can't replace. There's been a lot of movement in free agency, but nothing has surprised me except for the absolute value of the contracts that they're throwing around these days.
Well, and it's an interesting time, too, because the cap will go up way, way up next year with the new TV
yep.
deal. So I'm a little surprised personally that – let's use Anthony Davis as an example. And he was already in a contract. They signed him to an extension at
yep.
$145 million. So I guess that would take into account the new TV deal. But would we expect a few free agents to say, you know what, I'm going to sign for a year and then I'm going to get back in the market when the cap goes way up?
Well, you know what, I think they're playing a goofy game unless your name is LeBron James or Anthony Davis. Someone of that stature, and that list may be those two names only. If someone's going to offer you, Jeff, let's say, for example, $60 million for 4 years right now, and you say, oh, you know what, I'm going to sign 1 year for $15 million because the cap's going up. Well, you may not have the swagger. You may have an injury. You may have a down year that takes a whole lot of money off your plate. So it's kind of the new thing. But just because LeBron is doing it doesn't mean that you can do it as well. And I know there's been talk about it. Guys have said it. But if you can get a 4 or 5 year deal for upwards of 50, 60, $80 million, that's life-changing. And I think you'd be foolish to pass up on it thinking that you're going to be the guy that cashes in on that on that new collective bargaining agreement and the new salary cap situation that's coming up.
Tim Kempton, Suns radio analyst, joins us on the Brad Sesmat show. Jeff Munn for Brad. The other thing tied to that, the free agency subject, is, of course, LaMarcus Aldridge. And he met with the Lakers yesterday. I don't know when he plans to meet with the Suns, but I would think... I'm sorry?
I actually believe that the Suns were second today, and the first team in was San Antonio this morning at 9 o'clock, so the... Depending on how long that first one, they could be getting ready to walk in the room. They could be in the room with them as we speak.
I would think, and obviously it's a very crowded field of teams that want to talk to Aldridge. So you start saying to yourself, what can the Suns say to him? First of all, they have cap room. The other thing I would think that they would be able to say to him is, you want to be a guy that's a franchise changer? You can change our direction. You can change our fortunes just by signing on the dotted line. Isn't that kind of the pitch the Suns can make at this point?
Without a doubt, Jeff. That's what you're going to say to him. Hey, you're the guy, the face of the franchise. You're going to be, the big dog. You're the man with the Phoenix Suns. We have a nice couple of pieces around you, but no one stepped up in that void since we lost Steve Nash to be the face of the franchise, to be that the man in Phoenix. We have a nice backcourt in Eric Bledsoe and Brandon Knight. We have some nice pieces in Alex Len. You don't have to worry about playing the biggest guy every night defensively. We got Alex Len to do that. You know, we have a nice complement piece in Markieff Morris, who has progressed. You know, TJ Warren's done a nice job in his first year. We look for him to advance. PJ Tucker is kind of like your Wes Matthews, someone that we can guard anybody we want on the perimeter, you know, and sell it to them that way. We have pieces, but you're the piece that puts us over the top. And I'm going to compare that to the Lakers and even San Antonio. They still have guys there that are the man. Whether it's 6 months, a year, 18 months, whatever it is, two seasons, Kobe Bryant is still the man if LaMarcus goes to the Los Angeles Lakers. And the same thing in San Antonio. He'll be... warmly, you know, appreciated and accepted, but Tim Duncan's still there, and it's still, you know, his team, and he's the man there. So that's definitely the selling point and the pieces that they have around him that are young and upcoming.
And make no mistake about this, and this goes back 5 years. I remember I went to a game with my son. It was the year you and I traveled a little bit. And it was right before one of those trips, and we're watching him play Portland. And I kept saying to my son, I said, you need to watch this guy Aldridge. He's phenomenal. and nothing about that has changed. I think the fact that he plays in Portland, obviously the basketball community knows how talented this guy is. Maybe casual fans don't. I'm telling you, and you know this, I'm just preaching to the choir, that guy is phenomenal.
Yeah, he's phenomenal, and he changes everything about the Suns. The addition to him, again, I believe with the pieces that we have here, he fits nicely, but he's that respect that we don't get night in and night out, again, playing against like a San Antonio. He's the guy that will get that call. He's the guy, you know, although Markieff Morris did a very nice job this year of being that guy scoring in the low post, LaMarcus Aldridge is even more talented at that. Hey, we need a bucket, give it to LaMarcus Aldridge, and he'll get that bucket for us. So now we can concentrate on the other things that we're trying to do instead of trying to find that guy who was hot tonight that we can go to in the last minute to get us a bucket. We already know that going in, so Jeff Hornacek and his staff, you know, can plan that a little better as well.
Let me, you and I haven't had a chance to talk since the draft, and I've heard people say that Devin Booker, well, you'll have to bring him along a little bit. He may not play that much at the outset, and I thought, well, wait a minute. The Suns need a shooter. He's a shooter. He was the best shooter on the board when their pick came up. Why wouldn't you? Maybe he doesn't play 45 minutes a night, but I think this guy can come in and have an immediate impact on this team. And if he's as good a shooter as he's advertised to be, and I've seen him play, he is a terrific shooter. That is it's going to make them a lot better right away.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, you drafted the kid. You thought the kid could play in the NBA. You know, this isn't like, you know, you're not stashing him. Right. I'm with you. The way you get better is through competition and playing. Put him on the court with Eric Bledsoe. Let him spot up. And guess what? The hoop is still 10 feet long, 10 feet tall, and the floor is still 94 feet long. So it's not a drastic change from coming from Kentucky, where they played a very high-profile program, playing big games on television, all that stuff. Yes, the competition's a little bit better, but the only way you get better is playing against competition.
I got 30 seconds. Is the owner of the Kings just out of his mind?
He's nuts. He's crazy.
Why would he even think about letting George Karl go?
First of all, John Calipari is not messing with the NBA game. He's got the best job in the world.
You ain't kidding.
Kentucky. He's not going to go to Sacramento and mess with Renadive, who is a nut job. On top of that, there's no stability there. He's already fired two coaches. He's fired two GMs. No one knows who's leading the pack. And I think George Karl is trying to get fired because he's got $11 million guaranteed money.
Yep, and I wouldn't blame him a bit. Good to talk
exactly.
to you, pal.
Enjoy
your summer. I'll see you soon.
Okay, Jeff. Thanks
you
for
got
having
it. Tim Kempton, terrific Suns radio analyst. Just love talking basketball with him. I love talking to game analysts on broadcast because they know so much, and you can learn so much when you listen to them. And TK's right at the top of the list. Another somebody who knows a lot about the sport they cover, Kendra D. St. Albany. She's up in Edmonton. She's one of my faves in this business because she's earned everything she's gotten. We'll tell her story a little bit if you haven't heard it. Coming up, Brad Sesmatch Show on a Tuesday. I look good in blue, don't I? Jeff Munn for Brad Sesmatt on this Wednesday. I'm with the Arizona Diamondbacks on their radio broadcast team. I hide out a lot, but I am on their radio broadcast team. And Arizona State University women's basketball. I hate bringing that up because it sounds so self-serving, and I'm not a self-promoter, but I just have to mention. Before we get to our next guest, just a quick note that I didn't get to earlier. There was a story last night in the New York Post that the Coyotes have been sold to a guy in Vegas who's going to move them there. And I only bring that up because I get more and more amused, in a good way, by Gary Bettman every day. I will go to my grave saying he is one of the most underrated commissioners. He's done so much for the NHL and never, never, ever, ever, ever gets the credit for it. And he came from the NBA, and he's getting more like David Stern every day. Read his quotes, and you can hear David Stern's voice. It's awesome, just the way he reacts to things. I root for people in this business, and I am not a self-promoter. I revel as much in the success of others as in my own success. And if I was reveling in my own success, it would be a very short revel. But I root for people, and I'm very fortunate and blessed to have met a lot of good people who do things the right way, including the guy I'm filling in for today. But one of the other people that I'm really proud to say I've seen grow in this profession over the years is a young lady by the name of Kendra D. St. Albany. She joins us now from Edmonton. She is working the Fox Women's World Cup coverage, and she will be on the call of Japan and England tonight. And I'm embarrassing her by mentioning all this, but I am so extremely proud of her for all the things that she has already accomplished, and she is just scratching the surface. So I'm just going to start right there, and I know I told you this in a text, but I am so proud of you and the work you have done up there, Kendra.
Well, thanks, Money. I'm blushing. You can't see me because this is, not TV, but I appreciate all the kind words, and I'm happy I get to chat with you since I don't see you at Chase Field anymore.
That's true. You're too busy out doing stuff. I should mention also that you see Kendra on the Pac-12 Network doing a variety of different things. Let's talk, first of all, about last night's match.
Mm-hmm.
This has been, I don't think I should be too surprised, and I'm going to admit that I get to see snippets of the coverage because I'm busy with a baseball team. But this last night's match with Germany kind of fits the profile of what the U.S. has been trying to do throughout every one of their matches in this tournament, correct?
Yeah, they've gotten better every single game, and I think that's why people were being so hard on them, is because they know the abilities that they have, and they just weren't quite showing all their potential. They weren't living up to the bill and their abilities. And last night, I think they did exactly that. I mean, they just dominated that game from the kickoff. And even though they didn't, create a ton of chances, they finished when it counted. And that second goal that they scored, that Kelly O'Hare scored, was just beautiful. That is like textbook U.S. soccer right there.
You were seeing highlights of the match on video here on the Brad Sesmatch show. To me, and I don't know how much the women's game in terms of the strength of the countries parallels the men, but I think in terms of powers in women, Germany has been a consistent power, both men and women. And in some ways, and I don't know a lot about the draw, before we get into talking about, you know, who's the better matchup on Sunday, in a lot of ways, to me, they may have taken care of the biggest obstacle by getting Germany out of the way, haven't they?
Well, I think they did. And, you know, and this is where it differs from the men's World Cup. So the women's World Cup, they don't just get a lottery draw. They're not just placed, you know, randomly. And in the women's World Cup, FIFA really puts them in certain places on purpose to sell more tickets for the stadiums and the cities that they're going to be in, and then also for just who the opponents are going to be. So, I mean, you had France, Germany, and the United States all on the same side of the brackets. You knew that, you know, two of those three powerhouses were going to be gone before they got to the final. So I think yesterday was probably the toughest matchup. But I will have to say, I mean, if Japan wins this game tonight, they face them in the 2011 final and lost in a PK, and I've done three or four of Japan's games now in this tournament, and they are a really, really good team and fun to watch. So I think if it's U.S. England or U.S. Japan, it's going to be a great matchup on Sunday.
The U.S. team has a couple of local products, LaRue and Johnson, right? And I don't know how much contact you've had with them because you're covering the tournament as a whole, but if you could, just give us an assessment of how they've done so far in this tournament.
Well, Julie Johnson kind of came on as an unknown just in the past year to even make this team. She, you know, she hasn't really been in the national team mix this entire time. So she just came on, and she was like the superstar of this tournament so far for the U.S. on that back line that's just been so good. Last night she had that key mistake that cost them the penalty kick, and you know, fortunately she missed the penalty kick, Sausage did, but she has been just a stud, and nobody even probably realizes that she's from Mesa. So it's been fun to watch her and, you know, see some new blood in this U.S. national team. And then Sydney LaRue, she's kind of all over the place. You know, she was born in Canada. Her hometown is considered Scottsdale. She moved here in high school just so she could have a chance to make basically the women's national team. And she's just that spark up top. Hasn't gotten to play a ton of minutes. She was injured for quite a while before coming into the World Cup, missed a lot of the friendlies leading into the World Cup. So she kind of, you know, Jill always picks and chooses her moments of when to put LaRue in that lineup. But she's one of those, like, fire plug forwards that just all-out effort, really fast, scrappy in front of the goal. Maybe not going to beat people, like, one-on-one with the ball at her feet, but she's, like, in front of the net, you know, diving for everything, that kind of a player. Which is kind of, you know, epitomizes the American culture, that blue-collar, hard-working mentality.
Kendra D. St. Alban, Fox Sports soccer analyst, joins us from Edmonton on the Brad Sesmatch Show. I think in your comments about tonight's match, you've kind of answered this question, but I'll go ahead and ask it. I don't want to say who would the U.S. rather play, because that's dangerous. That's a trap. But who is the better fit in terms of style for the U.S. to play Sunday in the final?
I would think England. I haven't seen as much of England in this tournament as I have of Japan, but I think overall I think they would match up better with England because they're more similar to each other. Japan is so technical. You know, we talked to the England coach the other day, Mark Sampson, and he basically said, like, you've got to take advantage of your opportunities when you have the ball, because when Japan has the ball, you're, like, rarely going to touch it. You're rarely going to get it back. They don't make mistakes. So Japan is so good with the ball that I think England might be a better fit for them, you know, just aggressive, attacking-minded, you know, kind of an all-out style, which is more suits what the U.S. is capable of doing. Japan just keeps the ball away from you. It's like when you're a little kid and you play keep away or something with your brother, older brother and his friends, and you just never touch the ball. That's kind of what Japan does.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of this. I'm sure that the word has gotten back to you, but the numbers, last night's telecast of the U.S. match on the main Fox network drew a 6 in terms of the ratings. This is a great moment for soccer in general and women's soccer in particular, because this event is doing really well on television, and I would think that the soccer community's just got to be ecstatic with the way this tournament has gone.
Oh, yeah, they are so thrilled with it. I mean, you know what really helps? I mean, and not to take anything away from clearly the broadcast, but it helps that we're in Canada. And so from a time zone standpoint, you get to watch all these games live. You know, when you're dealing with Brazil or Beijing or Germany, you have that time adjustment, you know, or you're having to play games on tape delay. So not only has the sport grown immensely, and it's just been so fun to watch and see, but also it's just been really nice that it's in Canada and the time zones really match up with, you know, what we're trying to do in the United States.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think it was the same with the U.S. Open golf tournament that Fox had, that it was on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. They could move it into prime time. Now, obviously, you have the match tonight. The rest of your week, and I know that this is not the end of the road for you, you're going to have a lot of coverage duties leading up to Sunday, correct?
Well, you know, we kind of fly by the seat of our pants here. Because I thought I was done after the last game I did. I did Japan against Australia. You know, we were checked in for our flights home, and we got a call that night saying, hey, you're staying in Edmonton, and you're going to do the semifinal game. So we kind of are on standby to find out what they want us to be doing from this point forward. As of right now, I have a flight home tomorrow. But, you know, that could all change after the game. They kind of want to wait and decide who's doing what in the leading days to Sunday's game. But I will say this, I mean, there are a number of people that Fox has brought in on these broadcasts for U.S. Women's National Team, and of course just the studio coverage in general. They just have done a phenomenal job, and so whoever they stick on the coverage, you know, they're going to do a fabulous job with the game and with all the coverage. And of course, there's a third place game here in Edmonton as well.
And after the World Cup, you got to start getting ready, because you do a lot of Pac-12 network stuff, and your schedule just keeps right on going, because you've got to get ready, because that'll start in like late August.
Well, yeah, and actually next weekend I'm going to be in Los Angeles for the International Champions Cup that Fox Sports also airs. I'm doing five games for them as a sideline reporter, so Fox just keeps right on rolling, especially with the soccer coverage, you know, where the LA Galaxy plays an international team I'm going to be doing San Jose Earthquakes against Manchester United, you know, so there's just a bunch of games where these international teams come over. We've had a couple games in Phoenix as well. I think 2 years ago I did Real Madrid against, now I don't even remember. Oh, it was against the Galaxy. So I've got that for the month of July, and then the Pac-12 schedule picks up in August, and we just keep right on rolling along. It's been an awesome ride. As you know, Munz, when you get to do what you love, you know, as quote work every day, it's pretty awesome.
Yes, it is. And I know that it's also been fun for you, because I've seen the pictures. Your husband and your baby girl were up there. Are they still up there?
Yes. No, he was in Vancouver for 3 weeks with me. And then my mom came up for the last 2 weeks in Vancouver. And then when I came to Edmonton, they all flew back to Phoenix and I flew here. So we just had an awesome time. I mean, when you get to work and bring your family, that's an even bigger bonus.
Well, I again, as I said at the outset, I root for people, and you've done it the right way. And I'm making this sound like you're at the end of the road with your career, and it's just the opposite. You're just kind of scratching the surface of things. But I can't tell you how happy I am for you, how much I respect what you've accomplished and what you're going to accomplish, and I just want you to enjoy the ride. I know you have. Have fun tonight at the Japan-England match, and just enjoy, because you deserve it, and I thank you for spending some time with us today.
Well, thank you, Mon. I appreciate that a lot. It means a lot coming from you, and I look forward to seeing you guys when I get back to Phoenix.
Okay, that sounds like a plan. Safe travels, Kendra. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Mon.
Kendra D. St. Alban, she is, I'll just tell this quick little story. When she got to this town, a mutual friend of ours called me and said, can you give her some directions? She's been in radio in Milwaukee. She and her husband relocated here. And I kind of pointed her in the direction of the place she worked at for a number of years, and it's just great to see how well she's done. And again, she's done it. She played soccer. She's been a competitive athlete. She brings that knowledge to her work, and it's just a delight to see how successful she has become, and for all the right reasons. She does it the right way, and it's great to see somebody who does it the right way succeed.